Turn, please, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Well, McCarthy, where are you going? If you were a star, you'd say, I'm going to Disneyland. Or Disney. See, he knows what that means. Now he knows what it means, but he's a little slow on the draw tonight because he's been on vacation now and his mind is slowed down too, like it's supposed to when you go on vacation. After the Super Bowl, you know, they make a contract with the two quarterbacks after the Super Bowl, or whoever wins, they quick put a camera in their face and they say, where you're going? And the guy for $30,000 says, I'm going to Disney World, you know. That's why I said if he was a star, he would have known to say that, but... Oh, okay. It's nice to see you too, Mr. Marvin. You missed the Tarpon story this morning. I was the star of the Tarpon story. You were the guy that let him go. Okay. It's nice to see Mrs. Tuttle here tonight. And they were the ones that gave us that beautiful flag there that we have in display. And I hear you're moving to the Philadelphia area. How could you ever do a thing like that? We came from that area. Well, you'll be back. Okay, John chapter 4. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You would speak to our heart as we look at the Word of God, that we might understand it, that we might apply it. Lord, that it might be clear, if only we could make it as clear and wonderful as it really is, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might understand that in some small measure. Bless this time. I pray if there's someone who's not saved, that they'll come to the Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The disciples have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were concerned whether he had eaten. Now, we have that kind of concern, don't we, as humans? We get concerned. I get concerned about a lot. My wife would tell you that. Especially as 5 o'clock approaches at night, I get very concerned about whether I have enough to eat. And the reason of concern is because my body feels that way. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when God became man, He got hungry. When he didn't have food, he got hungry. Just like we get hungry. Or he would not have been man also. He would have only been God showing himself in flesh. That's not what he was. He was not God showing himself in flesh. He was God and he was man. He was all God, but he was all man. He was all man so that he, too, his physical body needed food like our physical body needs food. Nevertheless, something was more fulfilling to him than food, according to this passage. And what it was serving the Father. Serving the Heavenly Father to him was better than food. You know, for some people, they can't get a grasp on this. They cannot get a... I'm talking about God's people. So many of God's people cannot get a grasp of how good it is for us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens is God's people can be so worldly minded that they don't have a clue how satisfying it is to serve the King of Kings. What I mean by worldly minded is not that you're going out to the dance club on Friday, or you're going to the bar, or you're going to the theater, things that are commonly known as worldliness in Christians for a long, long time. But we can be worldly minded by being so concerned about things. We can be concerned about TV programs. We can be concerned about getting ahead. All kinds of things like that that can be worldly minded, that so consume our mind that we don't think about Jesus, we don't think about serving Jesus, and we never allow ourselves to know and understand how good it is to serve Jesus instead of always worrying about those other things that so dominate our mind. You can totally miss the thrill of life fulfilling service to the King of Kings and not have a clue how good it is. When I was a kid, we used to go to, I think it was called the Water Street Mission in New York City, and to minister there, give our testimony and so forth, and watch the mission in action. And they were called rescue missions. Occasionally men came into these rescue missions to get a bite to eat, and they sat in the service and they heard the testimonies and they heard the preaching and they got saved and their lives were changed around. And many, of course, also were not. I remember going, and I can remember they had a testimony time for the men. They always called them for the men. We want to call them bums. And I remember one of the bums describing to me after a service one time, we were going downstairs to eat, and he was describing what a good time he had finding a piece of food only half eaten in the garbage. Now, I didn't make that up. I remember that. Something like that sticks out in your mind, you know. He had had one of his greatest nights 2 days before when he found in the garbage half a donut and a fairly recent sports magazine. To him, that was a great time. Now, we wouldn't have thought of that as a great time. He thought that was a great time. That was his idea of living. And you know, God's people, many times, spiritually, are like that bum. We spend time and thoughts on worldly half donuts, not knowing how good it is to serve the King of Kings. There is nothing better or higher than serving Christ. And let me show you that through what Jesus said in this passage. In verse 34, he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." You know, that was the way that they would have stated it back a few hundred years ago. And perhaps that's the way that Jesus stated it. "My meat is to do." We might say, "My food." When they would have thought of meat, they would have thought not only of actually what we call meat, but all of food together. "My food." Are you hungry, Lord Jesus? No, I'm not really thinking about it, because the food that fills me is doing the will of the Father. And I have just been dealing with this woman about her soul. We call her the woman at the well, very adulterous woman. He said, "I've just been dealing with her about her soul. That is so fulfilling to me. I haven't been worried about food." Fulfillment. Jesus in his humanity was fulfilled serving the Father. Fulfillment is what every single human being wants, whether they know it or not. You know, most people are searching for something, or they are pursuing something. They're searching for it, or they're pursuing it. And when they find it, they find out that they're not really as happy as they thought they were going to be. And actually, if they thought it through, they would realize that the search or the pursuing for what they want, really, they felt better about than actually eventually getting what they wanted. Let's say it. Say it. You know, how many a woman has searched for a man to marry? Can't be happy till she marries. And then she's disappointed the way it turns out. Please, don't raise your hand. There's no disappointment in Jesus, the song says. There's nothing better than serving Jesus. You know, God created man, and He created our body. He created our skin, our sense of touch, our sense of enjoyment. He created love, and He created fulfillment, and He is fulfillment. There is no completeness, and there is no complete fulfillment without fulfillment in Christ. Nothing better or higher than serving Christ. Look at what He says in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat, or my food, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He says, that's my food. That's Jesus was totally fulfilled. And you know what? You can receive the same kind of fulfillment that Jesus had in doing that work if you join with Jesus in that work. There's nothing better. And the next thing He says is, lift up your eyes. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, He says, lift up your eyes. And that's a problem we have, is with our eyes. We set our sights on lower things. And those lower things don't give fulfillment. You know, I think of a football fan without his eyes on Christ. It's got to be pretty unfulfilling. You know, I watch my team on Sunday. And if they lose, I kind of come unraveled, you know. I have a hard time with it emotionally. I really do. But do you know what? The next thing I think about is serving the Lord on Sunday night. And that gives me fulfillment. And the other fades away. I mean, what about the poor people that don't have fulfillment in Christ that watch football? I mean, just figure it out. I've been rooting for the Giants since 1951. Now, that's either 40 years or 41 years. 41. I think that's 41 seasons, if I count it right. And in those 41 seasons, the Giants have won the World Championship 3 times. That's 38 years that ended in disappointment. mean, you figure it out. Being a sports fan is not fulfilling. And you know what? When they won the Super Bowl, it felt real good. But it doesn't feel as good as losing feels awful. Does that make sense to you? Sports can't fulfill us. I think it's a fun diversion, but it can't fulfill the life. In fact, some of you kids only want to pick winners in sports, but you will never be able to pick a winner that will keep you fulfilled all the time. The closest that ever happened was the New York Yankees from 1947 to 1953 or whatever it was, or 49 to 53. They won five straight, and maybe the Celtics back when Russell was the center. Those people had a good long run of sports fulfillment. But then eventually it dies and the team gets bad and you die with it and there's not the fulfillment. There's no disappointment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes and see the work that can be done. He says in verse 35, say not ye there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. In other words, don't think, I'm going to do it in the future. You know what? If you're 12, if you're 14, if you're 16, you might think about this room wonderful things you're going to do in the future. And then there's people 50 and 60 and 70 years and never did those wonderful things. Because we think we're going to do wonderful things. He says, don't say it's 4 months from now. Start now. Lift up your eyes now. Look upon the Lord Jesus Christ now. Get your fulfillment from the Lord Jesus Christ now, regardless of whatever age you are. There is so much to do for Jesus, and it is all fulfilling. We have to get our eyes out of the garbage can and look at all the possibilities of things that we can do to serve the King of Kings. Jesus said, it's my food. Lift up your eyes. And then he said, you receive wages. Verse 36. And he that keepeth, and he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He that reapeth receiveth wages. You know what that means? That means that you do not serve Jesus without compensation. And even if you did, you ought to be willing to. After he died for you, after he saved your soul, after he paid the penalty for your sin, you ought to be able to willing to do anything for Jesus. Even if you didn't get anything for it, because you already got more for it than is thinkable. But he said, if you do it, you receive wages. What do you think about that when you read it? What do you ever read the Word of God and look at it and say, well, it can't mean what I think it means? Ever do that? Shouldn't do it. He said, you receive wages. My Savior promised this. You'll receive wages and gather fruit unto eternal life. What's that mean? That there's going to be a lot of fruit in eternal life that's unto you, that you've got credit for. There's compensation in life. You receive wages. And in eternal life for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he knows exactly how to compensate you and to fulfill you. Unless your eyes are in the garbage can. He knows how to do it. Now, I believe this. I believe that if you serve the Master, that I will receive these things. You say, how does it work? I don't know. I take it by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. If he says you'll receive wages, you'll receive them. What will be the wages? I don't know, but you'll receive them because he said so. His word's always good. You will receive it. You will receive whatever kind of fulfillment you need. We live by faith and not by sight. We don't have 10-year contracts worth $10 million. We don't need them because Jesus has promised us every step of the way. All we do is say, I have one desire, it's to serve the King of Kings. And he said, you'll receive wages. That's the fulfillment you need. Whatever it is you need, that's what you'll get. I believe him. It's enough for me. He'll fulfill all my needs. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He will. He promised. He will. He does. I can tell you how it worked for me in my life so far. You know, my honest estimation before God about myself, my service of the Lord, my honest estimation is that the Lord has compensated me more than I deserve. I don't believe that anybody who ever had an honest look at themselves and looked at what Jesus had done for them would say any differently. I've heard other men say that in my lifetime. He's given me more than I deserve. He does give us more than we deserve. When we examine our own heart, and when we examine what we've done for him, and when we examine how we've failed him, and when we see what he's done for us anyway, we'll always say, he's given me more than I deserved. It's grace. That's what grace means. Now, some of you maybe agree and will make a move to reduce my salary. I don't know. But the truth is, the Lord has taken care of me, even above what I would ever think, above my salary. Most of the big things I have given me aside from what I could earn. But even more importantly, I'm fulfilled, and I'm happy. I don't know if I really always convey that to you, because I'm preaching hard against sin or something like that, but I'm happy. You say, well, you had a lot of trials. I'm still happy. I got the Savior. I'm even happy for the trials, because God knows what he's doing in the trials. He always knows what to do in us, even in the trials. Even when we can't figure it out. All we got to say is, I know he knows what he's doing. I might not like the trial, but I know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I'm fulfilled. You know, the folks who don't know what to do with themselves have periods of unhappiness. It's kind of sad, because they could get all the fulfillment they want in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I have very long stretches in minutes of unhappiness. I don't even have time. I don't have time enough to be unhappy. There's too many things to do. My weeks go by too fast. And you know, when you get older, that gets to be a concern, you know? It does. Jesus' promises are good. We take them by faith. Nothing better or higher than to serve Christ. Jesus said, my food. See, that's fulfillment. He says, lift up your eyes and you will receive wages. And then number four, there are diverse jobs. They're diverse jobs. And maybe you're saying now, well, you know, I know, preacher, that I can do what you do and be fulfilled. You don't have to, because the Lord has something for you. Look at verse 37, 38. And here is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. What's he saying to them? He says, you're going to start reaping. There was a lot of laboring that went on and now you're going to reap it. But they're all the same to me is what Jesus is saying. You know, sometimes you preach a sermon and someone comes forward and people think, well, you know, boy, he preached in power and someone got saved. See what verse 38 says? I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Huh? What's that mean? It won't be long after this that Peter got up and preached a sermon. 3,000 men got saved. Someone might think, wow, Peter's a great preacher. Jesus said, I sent you to reap. That's what Peter was doing. That whereon he bestowed no labor. I'm going to give you, Peter, and you're not going to get all the credit for this. Somebody else did a lot of that. You see that? You see that? Your production for Jesus is not based in the heavenly scoreboard on how many souls you won to Christ. He said, some going to reap. Some labored. They put the labor into it. And you all getting the credit for what you did. You know, maybe somebody comes forward and they think, wow, that preacher, it's possible that person's grandmother that's dead might have prayed 20 years for that salvation. That's a lot of labor. And the Lord finally brought it all those prayers together to bring that person to conviction. I remember that Senator Norris Cotton told me when he received the Lord as his Savior that his grandfather spent a lot of time reading the Bible to him. Can you imagine? His grandfather spent a lot of time reading the Bible to him, giving him the Word of God. And then he went out and lived for the devil the rest of his life. Until he got saved a few months before he died. Oh, how that grandfather no doubt wanted him to be saved and follow Christ. But I'm sure he not only read the Word of God to him, but he prayed for him. And all those prayers got answered. You know, maybe 60 or 70 years later, I spent 30 minutes with the man. He might have spent all kinds of time with the man, bestowing the labor that eventually came to fruition. Paul Geisler told me of a fella who said, I only have one skill. I only have one skill that I can do for Jesus. So I can make money and give it to God's work. That's serving the King of Kings, isn't it? That is service to the King of Kings. Some bestow labor, some reap. You have the personal soul winner. You have the preacher. You have the prayer. It may all be different. Some people may be better dealing with somebody about their soul on a personal level than somebody else. Somebody may be a better preacher than somebody else. Somebody may be a more fervent prayer. And those that have gifts of being showing kindness and following up with people and encouraging people. Those that clean the building are serving the King of Kings, aren't they? Did you ever think about that, cleaner? Did you ever think about that? You start vacuuming this floor, you vacuum that floor up in Plymouth. That when the people come into that service, it's not only people coming into that service, but the King of Kings is coming into that service. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He's coming into that service too, and you are cleaning it for Him. And if He came in the person, instead of the Spirit, if He came in the person of Jesus Christ, you'd get out the red carpet for Him. And so if you clean for Him, believing that He is going to be there, you are laboring for the Master. Is nothing better than that. I remember I used to get up early Sunday morning to go down to the Memorial Park Clubhouse where they had a beer party the night before and clean up that mess. And Mr. Thompson and I, just the two of us, nobody else ever helped us. We would go down there earlier, then we'd go home, and then we'd take a shower, and we'd get dressed, and then we'd go out and pick up kids and bring them there. But you know, we'd set up the chairs, and we would put up the dividers, and would put up our version of what was a pulpit, and a few other stands that he made out of the what's the inside of those break drums. And you know, and three or four people would wander in, my wife and daughter, maybe somebody else. And you know, I used to wish for a whole lot more people. And but you know, I felt fulfilled. You know why? Because I knew I was serving the Lord. I knew I was doing everything I could for Him. I felt good about putting the chairs out. I really did, because I was doing it for Jesus. You say, well, Anderson, you're kind of a nut. Well, you can say whatever you want, but I was fulfilled. And you can't do better in life than to be fulfilled. You can't do better than to serve the King of Kings, even in the smallest things. You know, when back in the 80s, when President Ronald Reagan called up Pat Buchanan and asked him if he wanted to serve in the White House, I would think that must have been some tremendous thrill for Pat Buchanan. And no doubt he was eager to get an office there in the White House. And I have a feeling that he would have thought, you know, I can't do any better than this in life. Well, I can do a lot better. I can do a lot better because, you know, there is one coming that's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. I'm going to split it wide open. And He is going to set up a magnificent government over all this earth. And He's made a promise to me that I can be part of His administration. And He's made the same promise to you if you will serve Him with whatever little job He gave to you. Now, what can be better than that? That's true. That's really going to happen. We may have to see a lot of administrations go by the board. And we may even be the object of persecution. But one day there is going to be a government. It's going to be glorious. And He has promised us governmental positions to see to it that this earth is run right when He comes. That's going to be great. There is nothing better or higher than serving Christ. Jesus said, "It's my food. Lift up your eyes. And if you will work, you'll receive wages." Even whatever diverse jobs He gives you to do. You can take all that Jesus said here by faith. If you'll keep your eyes out of the garbage, you can know that kind of fulfillment that says, "I'm not really hungry now. Having too great an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. We come to our prayer and invitation time. You know, I know most everybody here tonight. Most of you saved that I know of. Maybe some youngsters aren't saved yet. In your heart right now, can you say, "I am fulfilled in Christ"? Or could the honesty of your heart say, "Actually, I'm kind of filled up with something, some other things that consume me and take me away from the Lord"? If that's true of you, would you change your mind about that right now? Would you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You died for me. You paid the penalty for my sin. You've given me glory. You've given me opportunities in your kingdom. And I got my eyes in the garbage pail. Lord, forgive me and strengthen me as I make a decision to get my eyes out of the garbage pail and to do everything I can to serve you and to experience the fulfillment that Jesus had in serving the Father." Would you do that right now, child of God? And if you made that decision and you really mean it with all your heart, before I pray, would you raise your hand and let me know? Yes, I see your hands. Lord bless you. Yes, I see your hands. Lord bless you. Yes, I see your hands. Yeah. And let me give another invitation. Perhaps there's someone here, you thought you were saved. You know you're not saved. Maybe you're so worldly minded, you've always been that way because you've never really been saved and never been filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. You've never known the goodness of it. You just kind of played along at this thing, believing most of it, but never embracing it into your heart. Would you ask Him to save you right now? Say, "Lord, I don't think I have it. I don't think I have salvation. But please save my soul right now." And if you've done that, would you raise your hand? Let me know before I pray. Father, we come before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for these, Lord, have raised the hand. Lord, I know when they raise their hand, they mean business with Thee, that the evil one was going to want to divert them tonight, tomorrow morning, somewhere along the line, going to try to deceive them, discourage them. Lord, I pray that when they fall back, that the Spirit of God might say to them, "You just fell back, but remember you wanted something better. Jump up again and keep going." Lord, I pray that you bless these folks, strengthen them, so that they might see that whatever thing they do for Jesus, it means a lot to heaven, and it can bring fulfillment. Bless their heart, bless their soul. I pray if there's some that need to be saved, that they'll come and answer the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. 611 in your hymn book. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments, my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. It's a hymn of invitation. We'll sing a few verses. If you don't know the Savior, you can know Him if you come and meet me down here at the front. I'll have someone show you in the Word of God how you know you're saved. If you need to get right with the Lord, you want to pray with someone, you come. Let's stand together and sing 611.